I mean, it was Joshua that brought Israel into the promised land. Moses, the law couldn't do it. Moses was the law. The Bible said the law came from Moses. John chapter 1, the great conclusion through Jesus Christ. And Joshua had to bring them to the promised land. Moses couldn't do it. And Joshua chapter 2, a lot of great stuff in Joshua. And Joshua chapter 2 has a story of a young lady there, and one of my favorite characters in the Bible, by the way, and I'll tell you why a little bit later. And Joshua chapter 2, and I'm getting there. Joshua chapter 2, I'm talking and thumbing, so. Joshua chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun, first one, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Oh, Rahab. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho, he knew where to go. He knew where those men would be. They would be at Rahab's place. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, he didn't have to go to any place else. He knew where they would be. And he went to Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entering thine house, for they be searched out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, and whilst I was not whence they were. And it came to pass at the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whither the men went, I wot not. I love that wot not. Don't you love that old archaic English? Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of flax, where she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the Fords and the Chevys and the Chevrolets and all that. And as soon as they which in pursuit after them were gone out, they shut the gates. And before they went lay down, she came upon them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites. They were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did any remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God. He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this. The Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by court through the window, and for her house was upon the town wall. Notice her house was on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. And behold, when we come into the land which thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of thy doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, and if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit thee of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she was sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. I want to preach a few minutes on Rahab the harlot. I want to ask Brother Dot to take us, Lord, in prayer before the sermon. Amen, amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. And Rahab is obviously one of the most notable known characters in all the Bible. Everybody knows about Rahab the harlot. I mean, you don't know the Bible, you know about Rahab the harlot. But Rahab's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You say, well, that's a strange thing for a preacher to say. Well, just stick around a little bit for the message. And I will just give you a few things about Rahab. And this message, to get where I need to go, it's going to have to travel a long way. So y'all bear with me. I got a lot of points this morning. I'm going to go as fast as I can. Like Brother Homer Smith used to say, you listen fast and I'll preach fast. Amen. We'll get through this thing. But I want to give you a few things about Rahab. And first of all, the first thing you see about Rahab that stands out is her sin. Amen. I mean, Rahab's mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 8 times the name of Rahab's mentioned. And 5 times, Brother Anthony, she's called Rahab the harlot. You know what sin will do? It'll mark you. You know what sin will do? It'll personify you. You know what sin will do? It'll control your life. And that's all people will know about you is your sin eventually. It'll control you. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. You'll be under its control. It'll take your life, take everything you got. Even after you get saved, it doesn't go away. Charlie Andrews out there, Pastor Goyland, been saved for 40-some years, been pastoring that church, 35. You know what I still remember Charlie Andrews as? The outlaw biker. Odell Ash, saved 40 years, the ministry. It's Odell Ash, the outlaw biker. Earl Ankrum's been preaching for 20 years up and down the road. You know what I still remember? Earl Ankrum, the Satanist. You say, what happened? I want to tell you, sin will take hold of your life and it'll become you. And when they mentioned Rahab, it was the harlot Rahab. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Sin will take over your life. Yeah. It'll control you. It'll destroy you. And everybody will know you by that sin that you did. Poor old Rahab. All this time, God wrote that Bible that was written 3,500 years ago, and 3,500 years had passed, and the minute you hear the name Rahab, what do you think? The harlot. You don't think of nothing else. I'm going to give you a few things about her this morning. But that's what comes to mind. You say, why? There's the sin. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. The first time the word sin shows up in your Bibles right here. And it's Cain and Abel. And the Lord warns us. He said in Genesis 4, 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin never leaves your life. I don't care how old you are, how great you've been. I don't care how many victories you got. I don't care how much Bible you memorize. I don't care how many souls you've saved. It'll never, never, never leave that door waiting for you to open it. And it says this, unto thee shall be his desire. Who? Sin! We went to a church in Pensacola. I'll never forget this. I like to pass out when I heard this. Brother Ken McClendon was a pastor, a good friend of ours, Trinity Baptist. He was preaching one time, he was talking about sin. He was talking about a lady there in the church. She's 81. And he had some of the men stand up and say, remember Sister So-and-so? She led some of you to the Lord. She taught Sunday school. She was faithful in church. She had a granddaughter on drugs. And this lady, trying to help her granddaughter and her husband, brought him into the house. And he said, lo and behold, if they didn't get this precious lady on drugs, and she's lost her house, and they're living in her car right now. Say, why? Sin lost at the door. You say, hey, preacher, I'm 80-something years old. I'm on the downslide. You're in trouble. Look at the next verse, Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. You know what God told Cain? He warned him about that deal. He said, sin's waiting on you. And you know what the next thing he does in verse 8? Say he goes to church and goes down the altar and gets right with God. No, he goes out there and kills his brother. What a testimony of the human race, isn't it? I mean, God warns us that thing. I want to say the first thing you ever see about Rahab is that sin. First thing you know about us is that sin. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run the race that's set before us. It comes about so great a cloud of witnesses. And it said, let us lay aside every weight in that sin which does so easily. Ooh, I hate that verse, don't you? Ooh, it gets me. It does so easily. It's so easily to beset us. But that means to capture you, Brother Ben, and control you and take you down. It's like Rahab, the harlot. You say, well, I thank God I'm not a harlot. Yeah, I bet. We can't do it. We're just getting started. Hold on there. There's the sin of Rahab. I tell you something else about her. There was a shame. There was a shame. How would you like to be known, Miss Samantha, as Samantha the harlot all through history? That's all she's known as. 3,500 years. You know what? She has shamed the name Rahab. How many ladies in here has got a middle name Rahab or know somebody named Rahab? We had some baby books at the house. They had 10,000 names in them, Miss Karen. They had Judas in there. I've heard of people, there's a show on called Jezebel. Ladies named Jezebel. I've never heard one named Rahab. It's a beautiful name. Sounds French, don't it? Rahab. She has so shamed the name Rahab, nobody would dare name their kid Rahab. There's the shame of Rahab. But that sin came in and there was a shame. Not only that, look at your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 2. There was not only the shame and the sin, but there was a separation from Rahab. You know what sin will do? It'll separate you from everything you love and everybody that loves you and everything you love and everything you care for. It'll take you and separate you. Bible said in Isaiah 59, it said the Lord's ear is not deaf that it can't hear and His arm not short that it can't save. But He said your iniquities have separated you between you and your Lord. It'll separate you from the family. I got a message on the disease of sin. One of the points is it's a self-quarantine disease. It'll put you out there. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 says this. In Joshua chapter 2, verse number 15. It said, Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. Say, what about that? We see in old days, back in those days, when you built a city, one of the first things you'd do, you'd build a wall around it. See? And you'd build that big wall around it, Miss Samantha. And if you had the most money and you was the king or you was the muckety-buck, like Dot and Carol way up in status, you know, like they are, you would get in the middle of that thing. See? You would get in the middle. That way, if the good, bad guys came in the front, you went out the back. And that way you get in the middle and they start killing everybody. Hopefully they'll get tired of killing before they get to you. But the thing is, the more outcast you are, and the more useless you are, and the more worse you are, they put you out close to that wall. Did you notice where her house was? They put her on the wall. How many sin has shamed and separated her? They took old poor Rahab and stuck her on the wall. They got her far away and decent folks as they possibly could. There's her sin. There's that shame and separation. And you notice there in verse 18, it said, when we come to land, I shall bind this land of scarlet thread and bring their father and their mother and their brethren, all of their father's house. They weren't with her. They didn't want nothing to do with her. You say, what was it? There's that sin. There's that shame. There's that separation. They put her on the wall and got her as far away as they could from decent people. Not only was there the shame and the separation and the sin. You know what? Something else I see there? There was the show. You know the first thing anybody came when they came to Jericho? First thing they'd be seeing on that wall was the house of Rahab the harlot. First place those spies went to in Joshua chapter 2, to the house of Rahab the harlot. You know the first place that king of Jericho went looking for them? He didn't have to look far. He knew where they were going because Rachel, or Rahab's house, sit on the wall. You know what sin will do? It'll make a show of you. Isn't it amazing to me? Somebody can get saved or get right with God, and God's people go, that was a big deal. I mean, we ought to be shouting all over heaven. Nobody knows. But brother, you let a Christian get in trouble, fall out of the will of God, get in sin, and the whole world knows about it. It's on CNN. It's on Fox. It's on CBS. Everybody prays that sin will make a show out of you. Everybody will know. Rahab was a harlot. There she was. There was that sin. There was that shame. There was that separation. And the Bible said, be sure. Your sin will find you out. You'll get away with it for a while. You can hide it for a while. There used to be a track. I hadn't seen it in years and years. It's called The World's Greatest Detective. You open it up and it says sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. There's old Rahab. Her house sitting on the wall. They got her far away from anybody decent they could. And she was sitting on the wall. And sin will make a show of you. There she was. She was a show. She was sitting there. I call it on the sin's wall of shame sitting there. Everybody knew about Rahab. It's amazing to me how fast and how far sin can travel when it goes through. There was a sin. There was a shame. The separation, the show. There was something else you see there. And there was that scarlet thread. I mean, we see that scarlet thread. We think of thread, but that thread wasn't a thread like we're thinking about. The Bible said those men climbed down that scarlet thread. They said, put that cord down. Here's a big old rope. You know what scarlet's the color of? It's the color of deep sin. It's the color right now. They talk about the prostitution place. There's the red light district right down there. See, where did they get that? It's from the Bible. You know why she had that scarlet thread hanging out the window? That was showing everybody what she was about. That scarlet thread. Prostitution, the red light district. Westra, I looked up the word scarlet in Westra's dictionary. It said grossly and glaringly offensive, sinning in fragrance and scarlet fashion, characterized by sexual immorality. It says, example, a scarlet woman. There's that famous novel written by Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter, about that girl in the 1600s, y'all remember. Probably had to read that in school. She had an illegitimate child. She was known as The Scarlet Letter. The Bible said in Isaiah 1:18, it said, though your sins be as scarlet. See, what does that mean? That means they are really, really, really bad. Lord said, even if they're scarlet, they'll be white as snow. You see, that scarlet line, it comes from the word scar to mark you. You know what it's going to do? It'll mark you and scar you for life. We was talking about that the other night. Old brother David Beard, I love that old boy. Man, he's one of the best friends. You know what he's going through? Job said, my bones are full of the sins of my youth. He can hardly walk. The leg swollen up like that. You know what I tell you? The sins of his youth. Even when you get saved, they don't go away. There was a scar, that scarlet thread. Turn to Revelation chapter 17. In your Bible, you read the color scarlet mentioned in there. You know what it's connected to? It's connected to gross sin. It's connected to a fornication and harlots. Look at Revelation chapter 17. There was her sin and her shame and her show and her separation. And that scarlet thread let the world know what Rahab was about. And that scarlet sin had scarred poor Rahab. No decent man would have took Rahab home. Say, look here, Mom. Look at my new fiance. In fact, if you know your Bible, they should have stoned her to death. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Well, God told them. Nobody had touched that woman. Everybody knew about Rahab. Look at our Revelation chapter 17, verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness and saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. In verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mastery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. You say, why? That color has scarlet thread. That color scarlet is connected with fornication, harlots. And Bible said, over there about Rahab, she had that scarlet thread. That thing was big. Everybody saw it. Miss Carol, they could climb up and down that thing. There was a sin. There was that shame. What a shame, man. How'd you like to have been her parents? Everybody knew about her. There was that show, separation, and the scarlet thread she had. No decent man touched that girl. She couldn't got on the dating game. Nobody touched her. You know what? If I was writing this book, if man was writing this book, that'd be it right there. That'd be it. But just like I've said many times, man didn't write this book, see. Somebody that wrote this book, the Bible said he's full of compassion. The Bible said he's plenteous in mercy and willing to forgive. That's the one that wrote this Bible, see. You and I, we would have dumped poor Rahab right in the dustbin. Just like most people would have done with me and you. But man didn't write this Bible. Psalm 186 says, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, I love Him. I love to tell people about Him. See, there was Rahab's sin and her shame and her show. And I could go on with sorrow and separation. There was that scarlet thread that marked her and scarred her. But there was something else about old Rahab that you might not have figured out. There was Rahab's fear, see. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Keep Joshua chapter 2 handy. We're going to go through it here in a few minutes. Joshua chapter 2 verse 9 says this, And she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the sea to you when you came out of Egypt. Verse 11, as soon as we'd heard these things, our hearts did melt. Psalm 111, 18, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 ends. This is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of God. You see, there was something about Rahab, the spider, seeing the show and the shame, the separate. There was a fear of God in that wicked harlot. They used to say in America about a Christian, he's a God-fearing man. That's a God-fearing woman right there. That's a God-fearing church down there. They don't say that anymore. They ought to. You know what that was? That was a God-fearing harlot right there. I'll take a God-fearing harlot any day of the week versus a dead church member, wouldn't you? God would too. There was her fear. She said, we heard about... Notice she kept saying, we heard about the Lord. We heard about what He did. She said, our hearts melted. She had more fear of God than Israel did. There was a fear. Not only that, look at there. Next thing I want you to notice about Rahab was her faith. Fear is the doorknob that opens the door of faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want to tell you what happened to me July the 30th, 1975. I got scared of hell, and the fear of God had me get on my knees and open that door one day. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Rahab said in Joshua 2, 9, she said, unto the man, I know. No doubt. She had an unwavering faith. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. There was her faith. There was a fear. Look at verse 11. But as soon as we heard these things, our hearts didn't melt. Neither did any remain more in us because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. There was her fear. There was that faith she had. You say, who? A harlot. A harlot that was shamed and put on the wall, and they said, we don't want nothing to do with you. She had more fear and more faith than Israel did. You see, there was her fear and her faith. There was no wavering in her faith. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you this. And she said, well, we had heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. And we know the Lord is your God, and He is a God in heaven and the one in earth. Settled with her, brother, there was her fear. There was her faith. There was that sin and shame and sorrow and separation and show. And there she was on the wall, that scarlet thread hanging down the house of a harlot. But there became her fear and her faith. And there's something else I see about her. There was her forgiveness. You know what the law of the Lord of the Old Testament was, Miss Samantha? You ever read the book of Deuteronomy? You ever read that? The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 22, I read this a while back, it said about that harlot that played the harlot in Israel, it said take her out of the father's house and they'll stone her. That's what they did. Remember in John chapter 8, over there the men brought the woman adultery to Jesus. They said, hey, we brought this woman to an adultery in the very act, and Moses said in the law that we should stone her. That's exactly what he said. You know what they should have done with her? According to the law, Miss Annie Mae, they should have took her out there and stoned her. There was her faith and her fear, but there was her forgiveness. Look at Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. See, according to the law, Rahab's goose was cooked. Just like me and you. Just like none of us could keep the law. None of us could keep it. We wouldn't get past the first base. You couldn't get past the first one. You couldn't even begin to hit the first commandment through there. She couldn't either. Aren't you getting kind of like Rahab a little bit? Look over in Joshua chapter 6. You know what God told him to do? He said, I want you to go into Jericho. I want you to kill everything in there. God did that a lot. People say, I don't understand that. You need to look what's going on in the Middle East and you get a picture of it. Because the one little kid's alive, that thing, there's another Osama bin Laden. And that's why God went in there and He said, I'm going to wipe out evil. That's how much God hates sin and evil. He said, kill everything. Everything, man, woman, child, everything, wipe it out. He told Jericho and He said, when you get through, burn that thing. Pretty serious. God don't play. He don't play. Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 21. They utterly destroyed all this within the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass and the edge of the sword. I love that word, but. That's the most important word in the Bible, see. But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, I love this, go into the harlot's house. He hadn't forgot, has he? He said, go in the harlot's house. She was still that harlot. And bring her out to the sinful woman and all that she had, we had sworn to her. Verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all everybody. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved in the house. And verse 25 says this. I love this. And Joshua, Jesus, and Joshua saved Rahab. You know who Joshua has? Joshua was on the picture of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ saved me and you. And Joshua saved Rahab. Joshua means Jehovah saved. He was the captain of the host. He was the one that led them to the promised land. In Acts chapter 7, verse 45, over there it says, it was God our fathers that came up, brought in with Jesus. It was Joshua. The King James Bible put the word Jesus. You say, why? They're that big of a type. And it said, Joshua saved Rahab. There's Rahab's forgiveness. There's her faith and her fear and her sin and her shame and her sorrow and her separation and her show and the scarlet thread. But here's the message. That was the introduction, folks. That's why I said I'm going to have to travel to get to this thing. But calm down. The message is a little shorter than introduction. But see, I couldn't get you where I need to get you until we went cross country. But see, there's something else in this thing, and it's the most important thing we're seeing here, and that's God's grace.
See,
when he came there to Jericho and he told him, he said, I want you to kill everything, all of it. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Romans 5:20 said, but when sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There was Rahab the harlot, the scarlet thread, and the sin, the shame on the wall. But brother, there was God's amazing grace. You know what was so neat about that thing? Turn to Joshua chapter 2. Here's what I love about this, and I could preach about this. I don't have time to give the whole message on it. But the thing that marked her and scarred her was the thing that saved her. Do you know that? You know what scarred her? Was that scarlet thread. Look at Joshua chapter 2. In verse 12 over there, it said, now therefore I pray you, swearing to me the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you would also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. She said, I need something to hang on to. We need that too, don't we? And old spies said, okay, I'll tell you what you do. Look at verse number 18. Behold, we come into the land. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And I shall bring thy father and thy mother. And God didn't say, Miss Samantha, he didn't say, when Miss Rahab, when I see your righteousness and how good you are, he said, I'll save you. He said, all I want to see is that old scarlet thread. He wasn't looking for her righteousness. He wasn't looking nothing about her. And he looked right through that wicked sin to get to her. You see, that's how he got to me and you. That's the only way he'll get through to you, is through that scarlet thread. You see, God's looking for the scarlet thread. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. He wasn't looking at her righteousness because she didn't have any. There's none righteous, no, not one. All your righteousness unto the Lord. The best you can do, by the way, this is the best you can do unto him is filthy rags. Just like me and you, the only token we have for the Lord to show him is a scarlet thread of sin. And that's what Jesus Christ died for. Look at Exodus chapter 12. Remember what she told him? She said, I want a token. Give me a sure token that you're going to save me. And they said, we'll give you one. You just hang that old scarlet thread out the window. Once we see that thing, they killed everybody in that city, Brother Anthony. They killed ass, axe, ox, everything, Miss Annie Mae. But the Lord told him, he said, but you leave that house, everything in it, it's got that old scarlet thread hanging down. Remember her? Remember that where that house was? Y'all remember? It was shamed on the wall. Devil made a show of her, didn't he? He was ready to have the harlot. God said, I'm going to save her sitting right on that wall. Just as you am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Look over there in Exodus chapter 12. Here's the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be unto you for a what? Token. Just like Rahab, that scarlet thread was that token. God said, I have that token upon the house. He said, when I see that blood, not your righteousness, all I'm looking for is that scarlet thread. All I'm looking for is that blood. And when I see that blood, I'll pass over. You see what I see in that thing? I see the amazing grace of God. Out there on the board, it says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. It says, in whom we have forgiveness, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He that knew no sin became sin for us. That scarlet thread was put on Him through His blood, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There was God's grace. Oh, the Lord's wonderful. You know the neat thing about this?
There's Rahabs everywhere. I've led a lot of them, Lord. A lot of them. I told you, Rahab's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's like that dying thief on the cross. I like those kind of folks that God just reaches over there and brings them in. There's God's grace. But see, it doesn't end there with the Lord. See, I told you a while back, no decent man would have her, would they? They wouldn't touch her. God said, well, I think I'll take her. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, I tell you, the Lord's amazing. You see, man didn't write this book. If he would have wrote this book, Rahab would have died over there in the end of Joshua chapter 2. That'd have been it. We wouldn't have anything to do with her, would we, Brother Zito? We wouldn't have anything Rahab the heart. Everybody knew about her. I mean, surely, we don't want her in Pearl Lake Baptist Church, preacher. God said, I'll take her. I'll take that harlot. Oh, I've seen God save some harlots, man. Woo! Hebrews chapter 11. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Wouldn't you like to be mentioned there? You know what it's called? It's called Faith Hall of Fame. That's where some of the greatest people in all the Old Testament, Miss Samantha, that's where they walk in the Faith Hall of Fame. Man, would you like to have your name in that place? By faith, verse 2, the elders observed a report. Through faith we understand the world. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, verse 7, Noah. By faith, Abraham, verse 8. By faith, verse 10, where he looked at a city whose builder and maker is God. Through faith. What a lineage to be in, man. Boy, there's some something there. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land. The Egyptians are saying, verse 29, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. You know what God did? He took that old harlot and stuck her right down there for all those Pharisees to see what God could do. With that harlot. There she is with old Abraham and Isaac and Noah and Moses and all the great guys. And God said, I think I'm just going to stick Rahab. 2,000 years have gone by. How many times you read Hebrews chapter 11? How many times you thought about that and God stuck a harlot right down there with those great men? God, man didn't write this book, folks. There's no man would have stuck Rahab down there. They had to scratch that right out. But see, it isn't in there with the Lord. See, God's grace, it's amazing. John Newton said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God took me one day, an old dopehead, blasphemous, wicked devil, Miss Samantha. I mean, headed to hell like a bullet, good for nothing. I mean, I couldn't hardly tie my shoes. I didn't have that much sense. God reached down there and saved me one day and said, boy, I'm going to call you to preach. Everybody around me said, you're crazy. You can't preach. My daddy said, boy, dope's cooked your brain. How are you going to preach? That's what he said. God said, I think I'll use old Rahab and put her right there in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Turn over Joshua chapter 6 and get Matthew chapter 1. You know what, Josh? You know what I call this message? Kind of from sin's wall of shame unto faith's hall of fame. Go, the devil took old Rahab and set her on that thing, that wall of shame of sin, and made a mockery of her and show of her. And God reached down there and said, you know what? I think I'm going to take that old girl and I'm going to stick her right there with old Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all those guys and stick her right in the middle of Hebrews chapter 11. Every time somebody reads that, they're going to see about, oh, and you know, he still calls her harlot right there. I think that's the Lord just kind of rubbing it in for some of these Pharisees, see. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. Oh, the Lord's amazing. I love Him. I love to tell people about Him. Man, there's nothing in the world like it. There's that harlot. Joshua chapter 6 verse 25 says this, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. and her father's household and all that she had. Watch this. Watch this. And she dwelled in Israel even unto this day. See, they took her off that wall of shame. And he brought Rahab the harlot, which should have been stoned to death by Israel. And the Bible said they brought her right in there to Israel. Said, come on in, sister. You ever read anything like that in the Bible? That's what God did for me and you, see. Rahab was an old Gentile sinner harlot. And God one day reached over and grabbed a sinner Gentile like us. And he said, I'm just going to bring y'all right in there with Israel. Welcome, come on in. Romans chapter 11. We were grafted in. That wasn't good enough for the Lord, see. God had a little bit more, though, Rahab. I think the Lord loves this kind of stuff, don't you? God just wipes out the Pharisees sometimes, you know. Bringing that woman, taking an adultery. Lord, Moses commanded us in law to stone her. What sayest thou? We caught her in the very act. Well, let's see. I'll tell you what. He that without sin among you, you cast the first stone, okay? They all walked away. You know what God does? He'll use them harlots. Get our attention. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. You know what it tells about? It tells about the greatest genealogy in the history of the world. It tells the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been in that deal? Wouldn't you like to be in the lineage and ancestor and connected in the direct line of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be something else? Matthew chapter 1 says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Sarah, Tamar, Phares begat Ezra, and Ezra begat Abraham. Verse 4, and Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Esau, and Esau begat Salmon. Watch it. And Salmon begat both of Rahab. There she is. See, you know what happened to that old harlot? She became a queen of Israel. Thank you. She became the one of the descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the story is not Rahab's sin or faith or forgiveness or none of that. You know what it's about? God's amazing grace. God took that old harlot, stuck her in two of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and stuck her in the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1. You know what she became? She was the great-great-grandmother of David the king. Salmon begat Boaz, begat Obed, so-and-so. She was a great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother of David the king. You know what, folks? I love this stuff in the Bible. There's a lot of Rahabs out there. We run across them all the time. They're everywhere. No hope. Life shot. Sin separated them. Sitting on the wall. Shame. Outcasts. You see them down at the homeless place. You see them down at the mission. I've seen a lot of them. I've led some of the Lord. I'm always looking for Rahab. That's who God looks for. We had a church and we had a ministry, Dial the Truth Ministries, for years. We've had 30 years. And people call and they'll listen to a message. Now they can select a menu. But years ago we started that thing and started with Christy Nickel. We put a verse in there, put a thing in there to say, for the truth about hell, call 680-9206, and it'd just be hell. And you'd pick it up, and it'd be me preaching a message on hell. I always say the truth about the King James Bible or something. And people would call, and we used to have it on a little cassette tape player. My wife can tell you, we wore it out. As soon as they'd hang up and it's rewinding, the phone would be ringing. They just one after the other ringing. And people would call. People got saved. We started a church in our house from it. We had one girl that called that heard the message. My wife remembers. Her name was Taylor. Well, we don't know what her name was. She told us to call her Taylor. She wouldn't give us her name. But this young lady, Miss Samantha, when she was 14 years old, this wasn't New York, this is here. When she was 14, Brother Alonzo, her mother took her to Gardendale and kicked her out of the car. And she had to live on her own.
Of course, she became a prostitute. She became a lesbian prostitute at that. She worked for escort services. And this girl had done so well, even though she'd done that, Miss Carol, she was going to UAB studying to be a doctor while she was doing this. My wife let her to the phone, throw it on the phone. She would call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My wife would talk to her, and that's the only time she could call. And she got saved. And she wasn't kidding. This wasn't a joke. And finally, she wouldn't talk to me for a while. She said, "He sounds so mean on those sermons, preaching." And my wife said, "He's not that mean. He's pretty mean. He's not that mean." But she finally talked to me. And I said, "Why don't you come out to the church?" And she starts crying on the phone. She said, "I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody." She said this. She said, "If I was to come to your house, your church," she said, "would you sit down beside me?" There's people like that. That's what makes a show. She said, "If I came to your church," she said, would y'all give me a hug? Just a hug is what she wanted. You know what? There's a bunch of them like that around here. All over the place. You see Rahab's sin. See that show the devil makes of her. See that shame of her. See that scarlet thread that scarred and mocked her. But then you see that fear and forgiveness and faith, and you see just God's amazing grace. I've said it so many times in this place. I believe God will save any sinner that will come to Him. I don't care who, what, and when or where. And when I'm with that sinner, I've told you so many times, I try to be so tender. I want to try to get that person to Jesus Christ, and my soul just come out of my body sometimes. Especially when you meet a little homosexual or somebody deep in sin bound by that thing, you know, it just breaks my heart, man. What are you trying to say? God's grace is amazing. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, Lord. Lord, these stories of Rahab, there's a lot more I could have preached about her than this one, Lord, time. There's so many things in there, Father, how you touched her, worked with her, and so tender with her, Lord God. And the world just kind of made a show of her, the devil and all the sin, the shame and all that. And no decent person would have her, God. Boy, Lord, you took her and made her a queen, Lord. You put her in the genealogy of your Son, Lord, and put her in the faith hall of fame, Lord. Stuck that. So, God, just help us. Help me. Help it start with me, Lord, to realize, Lord, I'm at wherever I'm at, Lord, that old sinner might be look like so wicked and so depraved, Lord, may have everything in the world along with him, God. But help me, God, oh, help me to look beyond that veneer and that bone and realize underneath that skin is a precious soul. Help me to realize, God, underneath that there's a soul, God, that's beautiful. One that you died for. One, God, that you made a way to heaven simply by the blood of Jesus Christ, that scarlet thread. Lord, help me to see the Rahabs like you see them. Help me, Lord, to see them, Lord, through all those things, that sin, as Brother Earl preached, love them where they're at. And help me, God, just to look beyond those things, Father, and realize how wonderful your grace is, Father. Pray your blessing upon our little church here. We're not much. We're not impressed by the world, God. We're not trying to be, God. We want you to impress us, Lord. We want to do something for you, Lord. And we want to find those Rahabs. And we want to have compassion. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, making a difference, Lord. Pray your blessing upon this day now, Father, and the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.